On Mondays, we read from your letters. During our program on the history of the Oxford English Dictionary, we issued an email challenge. Send us your favorite definitions. Anthony Williams invited us to check out the word mumpsimus. We did, and according to the new, shorter Oxford English Dictionary, the word means an obstinate adherent of old ways in spite of clear evidence of their error. As the story goes, there was a medieval monk who mispronounced the word sumpsimus, meaning which we have taken into the mouth, and when corrected, he responded, "I will not change the word mumpsimus for your new sumpsimus." And from Eric Olson, a word not found in dictionaries, but one he thinks should be, from the word sesquipedalian, meaning polysyllabic, Eric Olson proposes anti-sesquipedalianistic, which he defines as against the use of large words. And from Chris C. Ewing of Laramie, Wyoming, a question: how many words are there in the English language? Well, we've invited Simon Winchester back to help us out on that. He's the author of The Meaning of Everything, the story of the Oxford English Dictionary, and he joins us from his study in his home in the Berkshires. Simon, good to have you back.
Hello, nice to talk to you.
How many words are there in the English language?
Well, in the first edition of the OED, 414,000. In the second edition, which came out in 1989, 650,000. And so if you were to extrapolate, the third edition, which will come out in about 2007, give or take, will have about 980,000, and that is the totality of the language for now, just a hair under a million words.
How does that compare to less dynamic languages such as French or German?
Well, much, much bigger, because of concurrence with allowing any word from any language to find a home in English. Words like ketchup, which come from Cantonese, are happily English. The French are rather tougher about things than that. So we're much, much bigger, but the Dutch are pretty big and the Germans are pretty big too, or at least they take a very long time to make their dictionaries, and the Swedish language is still stuck after over 100 years in the letter S, not because it's bigger, but because the Swedes are slower.
Simon Winchester, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Simon Winchester joined us from the study of his home in the Berkshire Mountains of Massachusetts. There was yet another email challenge during our segment on how the Transportation Security Administration plans to dispose of the large number of items it's confiscated at airports. What's the most absurd thing you've ever had confiscated while in the security line at an American airport? We asked, and we got so many responses. We've asked Chris Rattigan back again. She's the press officer for the TSA and joins us from her home in Maryland. And good of you to be with us again.
Well, thank you for having me, Neil.
First item comes from Christy in Midland, Michigan. When flying out of Miami Airport to North Carolina, she wrote, "I had my bag searched and my plastic rat tail comb and hairspray were confiscated. I guess you never know when you could comb someone to death." Well, combing someone to death notwithstanding. Hair care products in general, are those a no-no in carry-ons these days?
Well, no, Neil. Hair care products are fine. It's probably, you know, not seeing the comb itself. I can just think about a comb that we had at O'Hare that was actually hiding a 3.5-inch, 4-inch blade inside the handle. Not to say that our listener there, you know, didn't have that. She may have had another type of comb with very sharp edges to it. It's hard for me to say. The hairspray, though, if, you know, when you're traveling with hairspray, if you've ever seen a cabin compress and have some of those items explode, that could be a problem.
And we have a question for you from Marty Downs in Boston. Why are they still serving beverages in glass bottles on airlines? Clearly, the broken edge of a glass bottle could be a lethal weapon.
The first thing that would come to mind with that is the listeners of NPR certainly know that wine does taste better coming from a glass bottle than a box. So that would be the airline. Now, you know, if you take one item, Neil, and you say, okay, one item in and of itself, anything could be used as a prohibited item or as a weapon. I think a long time ago an individual was asked, how can you ensure 100% safety of you know, for the aviation industry, and he responded to keep people out of airports and off of airplanes. So, you know, one thing by itself does not keep aviation secure. There's no one single silver bullet.
Well, Chris Rattigan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Neil.
Chris Rattigan is the press officer for the Transportation Security Administration. If you hear something on our program you'd like elaborated upon or explained or challenged, please let us know. Our email address is totn@npr.org, and please tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Justine Kennan, Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, and Megan Williams. Chad Campbell directs our program. Brendan Banaszak is our production assistant. And Joel Riddle and Shannon Mullen are the TOTN interns. Our technical director this week is Kevin Waite, with help from Vince Muse, Josh Rogerson, Chris Nelson, and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leif Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.